In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength.
Good morning. I'm in James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1 in your Bibles. I would invite you to turn there as well. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. It's a pleasure to see everyone here this morning. Got lots of kiddos. I appreciate that. I'm always appreciative to see kiddos because they're going to be raised up in God's love and care. If you were to give a title to this sermon, we've been talking about this for several weeks: saved to serve. There are many places in scriptures that point this out, but we want to start in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, it says this: be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. All right, well, let's talk about this for just a minute. Now, if you are a hearer of the word, that is absolutely fantastic. You're going to be blessed. That's God's promise. Now, those blessings are going to be of salvation. We'll talk about that later. But be doers of the word. And those that don't, those who just hear the word, but don't do as God says, well, there's something else about that. And so then James gives us an example. He says, if there is anyone who's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like, that's a simile, that is, there's something similar to this and to that. And so here we go. Let's point this out. Let's say that there is a fellow who is looking at a mirror. So there's our mirror this morning, and here's our person. I hope you can see that. Now, this person has several different opportunities looking into the mirror, and don't forget now, one person is a hearer only, one person is a doer, but let's kind of sort of piece this together. Now, one view is that this person can see love in himself, he can see peace, he can see kindness, he can see the way of Jesus Christ, that is, the goodness of salvation. Well, that's just one view. I like to see that in myself, and I go to the mirror. I like to think, hey, Garland, you know what? You're a pretty good person. You're a Christian. After all, you live in love, you live in kindness, you live in goodness, you live in salvation. Life is pretty sweet. I like the way that comes out. But now here's the other person. And sometimes I have to admit, I'm that other person. And sometimes there is evil, there is jealousy, there's envy. Envy. There might even be hatred. But you know, one of the characteristics of somebody who is like this, who sees this person in the mirror, is that he is arrogant. He's arrogant toward others, and most importantly, he is arrogant toward God, which never fits well, never works out for anybody who is arrogant toward God, for they will have their comeuppance in the end. But you know, on the other hand, this person who sees himself in the mirror, love, peace, kindness, goodness, I want to tell you that this person is characterized by humility. Now, let's take a look. Let's investigate a couple of things about this. Let's go over to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we'll take a look at the Pharisee and the tax collector. So that would be Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Luke 18 and verse 9. I'll let you get there. I hear Bible pages turning, always a good thing. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, which of these two? Is this guy humble or is he arrogant? Well, I see there that he's arrogant. It says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. Now, that's their thing. They were following through with their religious practices of the day. They were going up. They were going to make their pleas before God. They're going to make their supplication. They're going to give praise. They're going to give thanks and do all of the things that people back in those days did in terms of prayer. Now, one was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. Well, a Pharisee, you see, was one of the religious people of the day who were the religious leaders. And they had not only what's called the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They believed in that. The law was given in that Leviticus. They had lots of laws in Numbers and Deuteronomy. They had lots of information there that they needed to pursue and to live by. And not only that, but they had commentaries written by their own leaders. That explained the Torah. And as time went on, people began following the commentary rather than the true word of God. And so what happens? God gives the Torah. God gives the first five books of the Bible. Man gives commentary. God, man. Which one's going to be perfect? God, man. God, man. And so later on, they even have commentaries on commentaries. And so you can see that you're getting further and further away from God's word. You know, it's pretty interesting. You know, you can take a document and say, oh, well, this was copied. This was put in the copy machine, and yeah, I can see that. And sometimes, you know, when you get down to the 10th or 20th copy, man, you can really see, man, this is really pretty blurry, man. We've been making copies of this forever. This is no good. We got to go back to the original document. All right, so that's the case. And so here's the religious leaders of the day. They, I got to tell you, for the most part, I wouldn't want to cast everybody as evil, but they were pretty arrogant. Why? Because they thought they had the word. They thought that they had everything that people needed to know, and that other people out here in the world, other people that were contemporaries of them during the day, people that were not Pharisees, people that were not Pharisees, they didn't have all of this information. So, you know, the Pharisees could look down on people and say, you know, I've got the info, you don't have the info. Now, but that's that situation. Now, also in Luke 18, verse 10, it says the other guy was a tax collector. A tax collector. Tax collectors were no good. Tax collectors were people who were Jewish, who paid the Roman government to have the position, to have the seat of a tax collector. Now, in and of itself, the Jews would say, you know, that's pretty rank, that's pretty bad, pretty stinky. You are going against our country people just to serve the Romans, just to take in taxes so the Romans could be richer. But not only that, they were taking in excess money. So if somebody had a tax of $5, what would the tax collectors do? They would charge 10. They'd give 5 to the Romans and keep 5 for themselves. And you can see why the Jews of the day would get really upset with these guys. They're cheating. They're cheating the system. And it's bad enough that you're working for the Romans who are over us right now. But then not only that, you're taking people from money from your own people, away from your own people. And it's just not right. And so most of the time, these guys were not well thought of within society. All right, so as we go along in this story, this particular guy, though, even though he's in a position to be arrogant, this particular man that's listed here in Luke 18, he is somebody who is extremely humble. He is showing humility in the way that he approaches God. Now, let's read. So verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now the Pharisee standing by himself, so, you know, he doesn't want to be with the other people, so he scoots over here. He stands by himself and he starts making this prayer. See, other people are over there. Other people over there are making their prayers. But no, I'm going to stand over here because I'm a Pharisee. And I'm better than those people. I know stuff and they don't know stuff. I've got stuff and they don't have it. I'm just a better person than what these other guys are. So you notice he's standing off by himself. He prays thus to God. God, I am so thankful that I am not like all the other guys. I'm not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this lowly tax collector. Man, I can't believe this guy's even in here. But here he is. He's in here with me. And I'm going to stand away from him because he's a filthy tax collector. He goes on to say, Father, you know, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. That's 10%. Anything that comes into me, I give into the temple treasury, 10% of everything that I get. But the tax collector, he was also standing far off, but for different reasons. Now, this guy was super arrogant. Now, the tax collector, he's also standing far off, as the word here says. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. So what? He's got his head down. He's standing off. He knows he's a sinner. Here are these other people. They've got their own issues. There's the Pharisee over there. He's got his issues. But here am I. I am a tax collector. My own people hate me. I've got sins that I have committed. There's things that I've not done well. And he beats his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. And he noticed that what he calls himself. He calls himself a sinner. Now, that could be just a response of the brain, of the mind. Sure, I'm a sinner. But I can say that about myself. Perhaps you can say that about yourself. We all know that we have sins. We sin throughout the week from time to time. We do those things that are displeasing to God, or we leave things undone that we should be doing for God. And that's a sin. So, you know, we are sinners as well. But this one guy, man, he's giving it all from the heart. He is just really into it. And he's saying, God, I am so sorry. God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that there's going to be wrath and indignation and judgment. And please, Father, please be merciful to me. Now, the concept of mercy is rather straightforward. Even though you do something to me, I don't have to respond in an ugly way. I don't have to give evil for evil. If you hurt me, I don't have to give hurt back. To be merciful means I'm not going to charge you with anything. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to cause you any pain. Even though you've hurt me, perhaps drastically, perhaps greatly, I am not going to reply in kind. And so that's what he's asking. He says, God, I know that I've done things against you. Please, please be merciful to me. And he's asking God for mercy. God, please don't destroy him. God, please don't send me to a place of hell or a place of torment or a place of fire. I know that these things are coming, Father, but please have mercy upon me. What does Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. So what's going to happen to this guy? He's going to be exalted. Now, what in the world can that possibly mean, exalted? Lifted up. I get the word. I know the word. I get that. I understand that. If you would, please run over to Romans chapter 2 with me. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Now, here's a humble person compared to an arrogant person. Humility, arrogance. Humility, arrogance. Humble means that I'm going to do what it is that God wants me to do. I'm going to give my heart. I'm going to submit to God. Whatever God says, whatever Jesus says, whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to submit wholly my entire life, my mind, my heart, my spirit, my body, my behavior, my words, my actions. I'm going to give everything over to Jesus. On the other side of the reading that we're about to engage in are people that are rebellious toward God. And they don't care. They don't care that they're rebellious toward God. They don't care that that God even is even spoken. There are people out there in the world today, Americans, we call this a Christian country. There are people that are Americans out in the world. I know nothing about the Bible. I don't know the first thing about what Jesus said. I don't know who Jesus is. You people keep talking about Jesus. I don't know who that is. There are unchurched people out there in the world today. All right, so here we are, Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's talk about for this guy, this exalted word. To those who by patience, see that's a qualifier, patience. Those who by patience in doing well, all right, they seek for glory and honor and immortality. Can I read that again? It's not incorrect in your humility to be exalted, to know and to understand that you're going to have glory, honor, and immortality and eternal life. You get that? Is that good? We're good with that? Do we want eternal life? Do we want immortality? Do we want God to honor us? And we're going to share glory in heaven? That's what it says. But now let's talk about the Pharisee. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who is evil. The first, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Did you get verse 8? Wrath, fury, tribulation, distress for everyone who does evil, for those who do not honor God's word. Now, once again, we go back to the exaltation part. Verse 10, God will give glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also to the Greek. But now, we follow up with verse 11. God does not show partiality, which means he favors one person and not the other person. God is not like that. God's not going to say, you did some pretty awful things, but all things considered, I like you. But come on in to heaven. He doesn't do that, you know. And he says over here, he says, you've been a pretty nice guy while on earth, and you spent your time well, but you just never got off, man. I don't like you all that much, but I like this guy. And so this guy, you're not going to make it, dude. It's just not going to happen for you. God is not partial. God is going to judge impartially. He's going to take a look at me individually and compare me to God's word, to the word that he gave to people. And he's going to take a look at you individually, and he's going to compare you in that day of judgment to the word that he has given. Do you match up with God's word, or do you not match up with his word? And the key to that is arrogance or humility. So which are you going to be? Now, we said that this guy looks in a mirror. And so here he is. He's looking in a mirror, and he goes away, and he forgets what kind of man he was. Oh, there's his little eyes, there's his little nose. And he draws a little face like that, all right? So this guy forgets. You see, this can be taken a couple of ways, too. This guy forgets. He says, now, I was looking at myself, and I saw love, kindness, goodness, and peace. But I've gone away from the mirror now, and I see evil, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, he saw this, but he got away from the mirror, and as he gets away from the mirror, that is, he leaves home, he goes out into the world, he starts becoming the arrogant person, not the humble person. But on the other hand, this person here could follow right through, so we're just going to draw this like this. But on the other hand, this guy could leave home, and he could indeed remain in love, peace, kindness, and goodness. This guy could continue to be arrogant, or this guy could be continued to be humble. All right, so let's take a look at that. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 15 this time. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And the prodigal son. Verse 9. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. Sorry, my bad. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the young man gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Now, do you think that's a humble way of life or an arrogant way of life? There's resources. I can be humble with it, or I can be arrogant with these resources. And so I'm going to give it all up. I'm going to spend it all. I'm going to play and have a good time. There's going to be food, wine, and women. And so pretty soon, all the money is going to go away. And verse 14, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Now, I want you to notice, he goes from this position of physical wealth, and he goes down to this position of absolute poverty. So he went out and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, and who sent him out in his fields to feed pigs, which is like a horrible thing for Jewish people. And he was longing to be fed with pods that the pigs ate. Now, did you get that? I've seen pigs eat slop, and I don't remember ever feeding pigs their food, but I've been around people who have, and I've been around that event. And so, man, those pigs really get into it. Man, they're just ripping and roaring, eating that stuff left and right. And the food's everywhere. All right, so he was longing to be fed with the pods. You know what pods are? You peel the peas or the beans, and you get the good and you get the pods, and that's the pod. You throw the pods away. The pigs eat the pods. But this guy was so hungry. Please give me the same food that the pigs eat. All I want, man, is to put something in my tummy. I'll be more than happy to eat pig food. But no one gave him anything. Now, verse 17. I like verse 17. Because this is me. And perhaps this is you. When he came to himself, that's humility. I have been humbled. I have been brought low. The way of the world is sickness. The way of the world is death. It's severe famine. It's severe hunger. It's the way that of Satan that leads you astray. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I will perish here with hunger. I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" And he did. He did exactly that. Now, we could rest in the story, but that's the point that we want to get across here. This guy was arrogant at one time, and then he became humble. And how do I look? There's a place for introspection in God's Word. Now, we take a look at something that is incredibly used just about in every sermon somehow, some way. 2 Timothy 3:16. If you want to turn there, you probably know it by memory. All Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God, and it's profitable. I can gain from this, but you know what? I've got to be humble to submit to this. I've got to have a heart that says, "Yes, God, I will take your word." Or I could say, "Yeah, it's profitable. I just don't want to be part of it." Right? That's what people do. So Scripture, you see, is profitable. What's it profitable for? For teaching. And what is it that's going to teach me? Well, it's going to teach me when I'm wrong. You see that word reproof? Man, I've been reproved by teachers all my life. I've been reproved by my wife. I've been reproved by my friends. I've been reproved by my Christian brethren. I've been reproved by just about everybody. That's just my life. That's just the way things have happened. Perhaps you feel the exact same way. God does the same thing. Garland, you know what he says? He says, Garland, you see what you're doing right there? You know that right there? That is wrong. Wrong before me. You have sinned. Profitable for teaching, for proof. But God also says, here, Garland, look at James chapter 1, verse 23. Let me show you that. Let me explain that to you. Let you understand what's going on here. Let's get this picture of a mirror. And somebody that goes, he says, you're like a guy that sees himself as okay in the mirror, but then when he gets out of the house, man, he goes about and does all this horrible stuff. Garland, you're just like that. Let me show you how to fix that. And then it goes on to say, for training in righteousness. All right, Garland, I see you've cleaned this up. But now, listen here, don't do that anymore. But let me tell you, there's some other things that we need to work about here in the future. You need to work these things out as well. You need to be this way. You need to be humble in this way. You need to submit this way. And you need to do all these things. You need to leave those things alone. And so, you see, that's the deal. That's what God's Word does. And that requires me to take a look at myself in the mirror of God's Word. And so we go back then over to James, James chapter 1, please. Just exactly back where we were. Now this time, verse 25. The one who looks at the perfect law, that is God's word. It is a system of laws. There's no doubt about that. There's a place for the heart, there's a place for the spirit, there's a place for the mind, there's a place for the body, there's a place for behavior. But nevertheless, and this is difficult for some people to understand, many people just think we're all just in la-la land as because we're Christian, we're all love and all that kind of good stuff. Well, that's just not the case. I mean, that is true, but at the same time, there are laws. God's word. So I've got to do what it is that God says. And he goes on to say, the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, that is, who looks into the law of liberty and continues to look in the law of liberty all of his life, being not somebody who forgets, like we have up here on the board, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in what he is doing. Blessed. Did you get that word? Now, occasionally I would do good stuff in school for some reason, unbeknownst to me, it just kind of sort of happened. And the teacher would say, Garland, you did a good job on that. I said, I got a blessing from that. Mom and Dad would sometimes say, Garland, you did good on that. Darla sometimes says, hey, Garland, you know, you did good on that. And my kids would say, Dad, you're pretty strange. But that's an entirely different story. All right, that's a different thing altogether. But nonetheless, sometimes you get blessings from people. All right? But now, what's it like to be blessed? What's it like to be blessed by God? There's forgiveness of my sins. Yes. There is a case where I am a foreigner in this world, and I'm seeking to go home to heaven. And there is a case for me to look forward. Hope of heaven. Not depression of the present, not the garbage that's in the world around me, but I can look forward to heaven. I can look forward to Jesus. I can look forward to God. You can too. Anybody can. It's all there and available for anybody who wants it.